meeting, we agreed to look at two alternatives of the Pearl District alignment as part of the Portland Streetcar Loop project environmental assessment. The first alignment, the first alternative that we were looked at is something that we call the Lovejoy Streetcar. Okay. Greg, yeah, please, if you wouldn't mind. I'm taking this thing off. Excuse me.
You have a light on this side.
Upside down.
It's upside down.
There we go.
Maybe it'd be better just to hold it there.
Yeah, I think so.
With all the effort, you're struggling so mightily, I feel sorry for you. You were saying, Ms. Deedy?
Okay. Still confidence.
We are technically incompetent here. All right. So the Lovejoy alignment would have come across the Broadway Bridge and come to Lovejoy, and then gone down to Hoyt Street, come back up, and then go across the bridge this way. And there would have been a stop on Lovejoy between 10th and 11th, right in here. The second alternative that we analyzed during the environmental assessment is the Northrop Streetcar Loop Line alternative. And what it does is the streetcar comes across the bridge to 10th, goes up to Northrop, and then turns back on 11th, and then goes back over to the bridge. And the stop here is on 11th, between Marshall and Northrop.
So, Ms. Deedy, if I could just interject. So,
absolutely.
It's relatively unusual for council to be given a briefing on where the issue of where to lay the rails and operational issues. And so that's what you're explaining now is the various operational options and as they relate to the laying of tracks to make those possible.
Right. I wanted to make you aware of the two things that we did look at and then what led us to the Northrop alignment and to our desire to form this local improvement district. Okay. So when we looked at these things and had continuing discussions with the Pearl District Neighborhood Association during 2008 and 2000 and early 2009 led to several conclusions about this. One of them was by doing the Northrop option, it would help facilitate the implementation of a couplet on Lovejoy and Northrop between 10th and 16th. Lovejoy running one way eastbound, Northrop running one way westbound, which really has some great benefits to circulation within the district as far as left-hand turns are concerned. It has great benefit to the operations of the streetcar. It's a much cleaner laydown of the track without a whole bunch of different turnouts in the street. And then it also allowed us to look at a better bike facility for the Pearl District Neighborhood Association. Because right now the bike lanes are on Lovejoy. And with the one-way couplet, what we're proposing is that we're going to put a bike boulevard on Marshall that would run between, between 9th and 16th.
And this has the support of the Neighborhood Association.
The Neighborhood Association and the bike community. We worked long and hard with a lot of different audiences on this. So that's kind of where we got to. And then as we started thinking about how to fund that, there was a meeting in mid-May of this year of all the property owners in the LID district were invited, and there was pretty good attendance and there's pretty good support for the idea of the Northrop Street Loop alternative. The Loop Project capital budget and finance plan that we brought to you on June 10th, within that there was $1.7 million to allow for these incremental costs between the Lovejoy option and putting in place the Northrop option. And And we identified three funding sources for that. One of them was $700,000 was transferred from the Loop Project to this particular project because of the differential in the costs and the two options. And then $500,000 in River District tax increment funding conditioned on the fact of having a $500,000 LID. So because of those issues, the multimodal nature of this, the improvements to circulation, the better operation for streetcar, PBOT is recommending that the council initiate a local improvement district formation proceedings. And what that will do, of course, is we'll set into place the legal requirements for us to send out notification to each one of the property owners within the local improvement district with an estimated assessment. We'll give them information about the project itself, when the hearing will be, and how they can object to it and have their voice heard in a formal manner at council.
Questions, discussion from council? Mr. Jones, did you have anything to add?
No, I think that other than the fact that we will need to move towards formation of the LID if you give us the direction to go forward before September 30th, so it can be included in the grant agreement to the Federal Transit Administration.
Questions from council? We've got a couple of people to testify. All right,
I think we had two guests, Tiffany Schweitzer and Chris Smith, and there may be others who signed up.
So Stephen Shane, Tiffany Schweitzer, and Chris Smith. Welcome to the City Council. Welcome back. Chris, why don't we start with you? You're sitting down already. What are your thoughts on this?
Chris Smith, wearing several hats in this process. Let me get the official one out of the way first. I am chair of the Portland Streetcar Citizen Advisory Committee and the authorized representative / lobbyist for that organization. And that group supports the Northrop Loop configuration, but has never taken a position on the LID itself. As a longtime transportation activist in Northwest Portland, I have been part of the group working for the last 2 years to define the Northrop Loop. It is beneficial not only to the Pearl District, but also to NWDA and portions of the neighborhood further northwest, because this will allow movement of streetcars from Northwest 23rd to points on the east side, which the other alignment would not have readily supported. As a bicycle activist, we'll be providing a bicycle boulevard facility on Northwest Marshall that will be far safer and more comfortable than the current configuration on Lovejoy. Some of you may be familiar with the what was well-intentioned during the original design, but has turned out to be a horrible design of routing a bike lane through a streetcar platform at Lovejoy and 13th. That will be decommissioned as part of this project. As a member of the streetcar System Advisory Committee looking at a 50-year vision for streetcars in Portland, the Northrop Loop is a far more preferable design because it allows three different movements that streetcars can make, not just the movement from downtown to the Lloyd District, but also a movement from the east side to northwest, and a turnaround movement that if at some point the Broadway Bridge were closed for an extended period, as has been known to happen, streetcars that would go to the east side could be turned around and rerouted back to downtown, which the other design does not provide for. And then finally, I wear a hat as a property owner.
We have a rule that only three hats in this room.
Excuse me, Commissioner. I have a hat as a property owner in the district. I own a rental condominium in this district. I will get to write a check for this. And I will tell you that I consider it an investment that will pay off hugely. Essentially, this district will become the streetcar hub of the city. When the loop is built, there will be streetcars departing in three directions from this area. And if the streetcar system plan is realized, one of the early additions would probably be a departure from this area to the Hollywood District. So, you know, the $100 or $200 check that I will write, I am sure will provide my future tenants with tremendous transit access to the city from this location, and will clearly increase the value of my property much more than the check I'm going to write.
I'm glad you said so. We'll make sure to calibrate the check appropriately. Ms. Schweitzer.
Yeah. Good afternoon, Mayor, Commissioners. Chris said it very well. And, you know, I can pretty much just say ditto, but I want to talk about the process because it's been a good one. As Vicki mentioned, we've been meeting and talking about this since 2007. And Mayor, you mentioned that this may be the smallest addition to the streetcar line. Yes and no, because it really does connect, as Chris says, the east and the west sides. And I don't know if I'm making the mistake here, but it may be the first time where we're asking homeowners now to pay for an LID. So that may be setting a precedent. But in this case, when the streetcar was first formed in this neighborhood, that was not the case. We have met with homeowners. We actually formed our own committee with homeowners and business owners, of which Chris sat on that committee. We had a meeting to talk about this as well. The amount that homeowners are being asked to contribute is not significant for what they're getting. And I think just the fact that there's not a lot of people testifying here today, it hasn't been a very controversial issue. It's been something that people all realize the value of. So it's been a good process, a long one, and yes, it's a short line that we are adding, but it will really get a neighborhood that's now at least in the Hoyt Yards, 2,000 homes we've built so far, and we still have, you know, another 8 blocks to go to other parts of the city. So I think that's what's really important. And so I just urge you to vote on behalf of the Northrop Loop. Thank you.
Let me amend my comment. It's, I think, the smallest streetcar extension that provides the greatest flexibility to the citywide system.
Okay,
happy
good.
Now, Chris?
Thank you.
Are
thank
you,
you.
Happy?
I'm happy.
Okay. Mr. Shane?
Mayor, City Commissioner Stephen Shane with PDC. One is we also are in favor of this, the shortest extension with the greatest benefit. Just a couple of quick caveats. Our PDC, we do not have... on our budget, there's not specific line item at this point for the $500,000, and we'll need to go to our board for the approval on that, which I would imagine once this comes back to you and you go ahead and form the LID, we will go ahead and do that. Just a couple quick caveats, Commissioner and Mayor, there are two park properties that are will be paying LIDs, and there's also PDC property that will be subject to LID as well.
Commissioner Fritz.
So just to clarify, the $500,000 is not in the current budget for the River District?
That's correct.
So it would have to come out of something else?
Something else. We'll have to shift kind of priorities to make this happen.
And do we have any sense of what might drop off?
Not at this point.
I would say, generically speaking, is it not generally true that given the state of the recession in general, there are a number of projects that are not on the original timeline because they require private partners, and so it really is a matter of, I mean, there is headway in the financial plan because a lot of the private public-private partnership projects are not actually moving forward.
That is correct. There's also other resources that we can readjust to pay for this.
Could I just follow up on that question, though? Is the $500,000... does it matter whether the amendments go through to the River District, or is this not covered under either scenario?
This is in the existing River District, so it really doesn't matter if the on the LUBA appeal.
And what's the timeline for construction?
What's the timeline for construction, Vicki?
This is part of the construction schedule with the overall loop
right.
project.
Right.
And
right.
payment would be 2013?
And, you know, 4 to 6 months after the project is completed.
Thank you all very much for your testimony.
Did you have more?
I have another question, Mr.
Thank you.
So it had been mentioned that we're applying for a federal grant, and I'm wondering what happens if the LID doesn't go through, what happens if we don't get the federal money?
At that point in time, we'd have two options. One of those options would be to look for an additional $500,000 from some other source, or the second alternative would be to build the Lovejoy alignment.
Thank you.
Maybe I missed something, but could you just explain why does it not matter whether the River District amendments go through? Doesn't
it's in the original district,
right?
So it's being in the original district, it's not subject to the LUVA process. It's not part of the expansion of the River Districts. It's part of the River District urban renewal area that's been around for 10
okay.
years.
Okay, thank you.
Sure. Thank you. Anyone else signed up to testify?
We have one more person, Kate Chan.
All right, Ms. Channing. All right, please call the roll.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Well, I do have some concerns, but it looks like most of the money is coming from pre-allocated sources and from the LID, so the property owners who are going to benefit, as Chris Smith mentioned, are helping to pay. Aye.
Fish.
Carl, I just want to clarify. We're currently voting on 1017. Okay, the amendment. Aye. Thank you.
Adams.
Aye. 1017 is approved. Can you please call the roll on Council Calendar Resolution 1018?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Could I get some subsequent email back just on what the potential charge is to parks on this, just so I have a sense of what the range is and how that's been addressed in other similar situations?
We'll get him an email right away.
Thank you. Aye.
Adams?
Thank you very much for your good work, everybody. And Tiffany, for getting the private sector developed. Private sector together to help get that contribution. Aye. 1018 is approved. Can you please read the title for Emergency Ordinance 1019?
Accept a grant of $172,164 from Oregon Emergency Management for fiscal year 2008 State Homeland Security Grant for Security Strategies.
Good afternoon. Thanks for waiting. Is there any reason why we should not accept this security grant?
No.
Are there any conversations or discussions from council on this item? Anyone signed up to testify on 1019?
I did not have a sign-up sheet.
Anyone wishes to testify on 1019? Carla, please call the roll.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
I appreciate the robust discussion and debate on this issue, but I'm going to follow my conscience and vote aye.
Adams.
Aye. Thank you for your good work. 1019 is approved. Can you please read the title for Emergency Ordinance 1020?
Amend contract with Architectural Resources Group, Inc. for $240,102 to provide additional architectural and engineering services for Union Station Phase 2 facility improvements.
Good afternoon. How are you?
Good.
Ms. Creswell?
Marina Creswell. I'm a project manager with Facility Services, OMF.
Can you give us a quick overview of what we're looking at?
You're basically looking at an amendment to an existing design contract with Architectural Resources Group to add additional scope of work for roof repairs at Union Station.
Seems like we've been into roof repairs at Union Station for 20 years.
That's correct.
What's this one do specifically?
The current scope of work is to repair the north high roof, north of the main concourse level. We still have more than half of the roof that needs to be repaired, and the additional scope of work will provide design to do those repairs for the rest of the roof.
And funding would come from?
PDC.
Okay. Questions from council?
Just want to observe that Marina is also working with the Portland Housing Bureau on the new configuration for our new space in the Commonwealth Building.
Oh, great.
Which we will be kicking off. We hope to cut the ribbon in mid-September.
Thanks,
God willing.
Thanks, Ms. Creswell. Anyone signed up to testify on 1020?
I did not have a
sign-up. Anyone wishes to testify on 1020? Carla, would you please call the roll on item 1020?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 1020 is approved. Can you please read the title for Emergency Ordinance, Council Calendar Item 1021?
Authorize application to CPS, Human Resource Services, and IPMA-HR for a grant in the amount of $25,000 for recruitment process improvement project in the Bureau of Human Resources.
Welcome back, Mr. Wall.
Thank you very much, Mayor.
Did Yvonne do that to you?
No, unfortunately not. No good story there.
All right. What are we looking at here?
Basically, the city's recruitment electronic application process is over 20 years old. It's based on an antiquated DOS-based system, if you can imagine. And prior to looking at a technology improvement, my boss, Yvonne Deckard, asked me to help lead a re-engineering process to look at the entire city's recruitment process in really looking at ways that we can help make it more efficient, user-friendly, and more effective you know, and responsive to our Bureau customers. And so we put together a process improvement team, have developed a process, and now are completing a final report that will be presented to you later this year. Part of that process got out, and we were invited by the International Public Management Association's HR group to apply for an HR innovation grant of $25,000 that they award each year for one project that they deem as the most innovative project for human resource development and improvement. And so we're very flattered, and so we wish to apply for this grant and hopefully use that towards implementing a new system.
Questions from council? Anyone here wish to testify on council calendar item 1021? Carla, would you please call the roll?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Joe, it's good to have you back.
Aye.
Thank you. 1021 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance council calendar item 1022?
Authorize acquisition of one lot from Margaret A. Brannan as a component of the Gray to Green initiative.
All right, is there someone here to testify on this issue? Amy? You want to pinch hit here? Oh, we do have some. Come on up, Naz. Are you with the Bureau?
I'm with Environmental Services.
Come on up. Please. Is this a willing seller?
This is a willing seller program on the Crystal Springs Creek.
Yes. And where does the money come from?
We've got $75,000 coming from the Portland local share of the Metro Area Natural Bond, Natural Areas Bond for this acquisition. Is that, that's right?
Don't have any different talking points than you don't.
Okay.
And the remainder comes from stormwater usually rates?
Yes. The rest are coming from sewer rates at a cost of $132,000. Excuse me, I'm on the wrong page. $475,000.
And this is part of our efforts to both reduce flooding and improve habitat hydrology?
Yeah, actually BES is teaming up with Parks on this one, and they're going to be removing some of the structures, utilities on the property, remove a culvert, and restore the site to its natural state.
Discussion from council. Does anyone here in the room wish to testify on council calendar item 1022? Thank you. Carla, would you please call the roll on 1022?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Nice job, Amy. Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1022 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance council calendar item 1023?
Authorize a contract with Michael Chavez, DBA Earth Dynamics, and provide for payment for pressure sewer locating and marking services.
This ordinance is a contract with this firm, Earth Dynamics, to gather more accurate information about the exact locations of the city's pressure sewers. A lot of cases, our drawings are really outdated and inaccurate, so this will enable us to physically locate the pressure sewers. And this is an emergency ordinance because we want to be able to do this during the very dry weather currently.
Question, discussion from council? Does anyone wish to testify on council calendar item 1023? Carla, would you please call the roll on 1023?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1023 is approved. Can you please read the title for emergency ordinance council calendar item 1024?
Authorize financial incentives and partnership agreements for implementation of stormwater retrofits within targeted areas of the Tabor to the River program.
Well, you're just here all afternoon, aren't you?
Just for the next couple ones, I think.
Okay, what do we got here?
This one, as Carla said, is part of the Tabor to the River Brooklyn Creek Basin Program. It's a private property retrofit program. Got a couple of staff here in case you do want any more details. This is a really good example of working together with our citizens to accomplish part of this very big project. This particular one authorizes BES to offer financial incentives to property owners to add stormwater management facilities to private property.
Discussion from council.
So is this a private, a pilot project?
It's not a pilot. We've been doing this for
3 years. It's part of Greater Green.
Thank you.
Good afternoon, Commissioners. My name is Amber Clayton. I manage a few stormwater retrofit programs at Environmental Services. We don't consider this program a pilot program because we've been doing this type of work for 15 years with the Downspout Disconnection Program as well as the Eco Roof Program and a variety of other financial incentives. The distinction with this program is that we have distinct geographic target areas, areas in which our sewers are under capacity, and engaging in private property owners to remove stormwater from the combined sewer at very specific locations is going to give us an extreme cost benefit. So I wouldn't consider the techniques and the approaches a pilot program, but the distinctions is more geographic than anything.
And how can citizens find out if they're eligible and sign up?
We are going to be doing direct outreach to property owners, tenants, and other sorts of occupants within these targeted areas at sort of distinct rollout phases. We're working with limited staff, so we're trying to make sure that we target distinct sewer basins sort of one or two at a time. But we will be doing mail direct contact through basically just walking into commercial property owners and saying, hey, we'd love to talk to you about retrofitting your property. So we're going to give property owners every opportunity to participate.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Appreciate it. Anyone wishes to testify on Council Calendar Item 1024? Carla, would you please call the roll on 1024? Thanks for your testimony.
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1024 is approved. Can you please read the title? For Emergency Ordinance, Council Calendar Item 1025.
Authorize intergovernmental agreement with Portland Community College for construction of stormwater retrofits.
This is an ordinance, actually part of a mutual agreement order that we signed with DEQ last year in April. One of the four projects is to construct two grassy swales and a stormwater facility over at PCC Sylvania.
Discussion from council. Anyone wish to testify on council calendar item 1025? Carla, would you please call the roll on 1025?
Leonard?
Aye.
Fritz?
Aye.
Fish?
Aye.
Adams?
Aye. 1025 is approved. Can you please read the title for Emergency Ordinance, Council Calendar Item 1026?
Authorize contracts for hauling and disposal of non-hazardous contaminated media and hazardous waste.
Amy?
This ordinance is for contracts to haul and dispose of our non-hazardous contaminated media and hazardous waste that comes from the BES Coordinated Site Analysis Program.
And what's the...
The cost of these contracts with licensed landfills and trucking is about $1.5 million per year over the next 5 years.
And the MWESB...
I don't have the MWESB information on this one. I can get that to you.
Trucking is it's a great opportunity for us to get certified minority firms. Do you have to have this approved? Can we hold this over till tomorrow and you can get back to us on that?
Yeah, we can.
Unless there is anyone who objects or anyone that would wish to testify in 1026, we will hold over 1026 to tomorrow to get certified firm evaluation. No objection, so done. Thank you. Can you please read the title for Emergency Ordinance, Council Calendar Item 1027?
Authorized grant agreement with Youth Employment Institute for graffiti abatement services in fiscal year 2009-2010.
Commissioner Fritz.
Well, the reason this is an emergency is that we want to get the contracts out as quickly as possible after the council supported funding for the graffiti program in the budget. And we've been working with ONI to discuss the Office of NABID involvement to discuss to focus the funding provided on retaining core elements of the program, providing job opportunities for youth, and leveraging funds through volunteer efforts. So this contract might have gone on the consent agenda without discussion, but I wanted Director Amalia Alacrán-Damaris and our graffiti coordinator, Marcia Dennis, to come and just give the council a brief update on what we're doing with the graffiti program to enhance and improve the services to citizens. Amalia?
Thank you. First of all, thank you to the mayor and city council for funding the graffiti abatement program in ONI for fiscal year 09-10. The current grant agreement that's being considered by council is to provide a grant agreement to Youth Employment Institute to maintain two year-round crews to continue free removal services for qualified properties, which are generally owner-occupied residences and small businesses, to reestablish the summer walking crews that were not available due to funding limitations in fiscal year 09. This maximizes the job opportunities for youth by creating an additional 20 positions for youth during the summer. Crews will walk you through identified will walk through identified target areas to document and remove graffiti in the public right-of-way. And this will provide over 3,000 additional hours of focused graffiti removal in fiscal year 2010. The information you just received is some historic information and partner information about the graffiti program. YEI has a program that provides ongoing job development opportunities for at-risk youth and training to community volunteers. And it has dedicated program staff with expertise in the area of graffiti identification removal that also provide critical support to the city in the arrest and conviction of graffiti vandals.
I am so apologetic.
And that leads me into other program enhancements. Volunteers have always contributed a lot to the graffiti program, and volunteer training and development are a particular focus for the program this year to further leverage the city funds for the greatest community impact. In 2008, the program supported 8 Saturday morning collaborative cleanups with neighborhood and business volunteers. The program will continue to provide these 8 collaborative cleanups, but has almost tripled the number of volunteer cleanups supported in 2009 to a total of 23 events already scheduled. The program is expanding partnerships on volunteer cleanups, including school projects, churches, nonprofits, and extra neighborhood group cleanups, so we expect this number to continue to increase. The program has established a new partnership with Central City Concerns Community Volunteer Corps Program. This is an innovative program that provides unique job development opportunities for adults in transition. The city identifies the locations and provides the supplies, and the volunteer corps provides 7 to 12 volunteers, conducts targeted cleanups at locations that are historically very difficult to abate due to the large size or complex locations, such as warehouses along the railroad tracks. They began doing work with us in July, doing weekly cleanups, and they've already used 50 gallons of paint for large-scale cleanups that have not been previously possible. We are also expanding training opportunities and development of a master trainer program to encourage commitment to ongoing cleanup of graffiti and ensure the volunteers are trained in the proper methods of removal. And that should be happening by October. Expanding the availability of cleanup supplies for individuals, businesses, and neighborhoods at coalition offices, and provided directly to organized groups performing graffiti cleanups. Volunteer graffiti removal kits are already available at 9 fire stations and will be available at the 7 coalition offices in August of 2009, and that information is on our website. Provide small grant opportunities to support targeted cleanups at chronic graffiti locations. The grants program is in development and will be released in the spring of 2010. We have an expanded graffiti task force, including a broad range of regional partners. And as far as the future of the graffiti abatement program, we want to put the word out there that volunteers can explore opportunities to organize cleanups in their area or support other scheduled cleanup events by contacting the graffiti abatement coordinator, sitting right here with me, Marcia Dennis. She'll tell you her number and where the information is available and information on the 2 upcoming cleanups.
Oh, I will. Well, my phone number that people can call for this is 503-823-5860.
Marcia, you need to give us your name for the record.
I'm sorry.
It's okay.
Marcia Dennis, Graffiti Abatement Coordinator. And do you want my phone number again?
Sure. 503-823-5860.
And then we have the website that we are in the process of updating, which has a lot of good information. The volunteer forms are there to be uploaded, downloaded, whichever way you go, so that people can sign up and send those in. The permission form is on the website, and other helpful tips, how to make online reports and things like that.
Appreciate this handout as well.
Oh, and yes, Somalia just pointed out, we have an August 22nd, there will be a Saturday morning cleanup in Kenton, sponsored by the Life Fellowship Church and their youth group. They've already done 2 other cleanups for us this year, and they're a great group of folks. And then on September 12th, we have a cleanup scheduled in Boise neighborhood.
Discussion?
If I might just follow up a little bit, we had some discussions during the budget, and the Neighborhood Involvement Budget Advisory Committee had originally said that the graffiti program was one of was least important to our core mission, and that was partly because we have not in the past included volunteers and in quite such numbers. And we have realized since then that with this economic crisis that government and citizens must find new ways to get the necessary tasks accomplished. And I'm very proud of the ONI staff and the volunteers in the community for recognizing that historically graffiti does go up during hard economic times and that we are going to make sure that our neighborhoods and neighborhood businesses remain vibrant, wonderful places to live. And so as I've been going around to the coalitions and the neighborhoods and business groups and pretty much everybody has said, yes, count me in, we'll step up and do this. And so we now see, at least I see, the graffiti program as a core organizing tool. It's a project that neighbors can get together, business owners can get together, and physically, quickly clean up their neighborhoods. But it is a specialized program. It's not that you can just go out without training. I have learned a lot in the past 12 months and realized that it takes special techniques to clean up the front of traffic signs, for example, so that only city staff do that. But that there are other things that you should know about how you do and don't remove graffiti, and that's why we want you to call and become involved in a training and to get those supplies that are essential. And if you can't remember the graffiti number, you can call 823-4000 and we'll direct you to any city or county service. But it is important for citizens to know that when you see new graffiti, it needs to be reported within a week, and it's worthwhile reporting it within a week because we do have an effective enforcement program with Marsha coordinating with the police and with the task force to make sure that we do find out who the vandals are and convict and then fine them. And that's an essential part of this program. So we want citizens to call 823-4000, report the graffiti after talking to Marsha. We want you to learn how to remove the graffiti as quickly as possible because if it stays up, then it tends to attract more. And also to know that you can't remove it without permission from the property owner. And that's really all what graffiti is about. It's not art because you don't have permission to put it up there. And similarly, volunteers need to have permission to be able to get it down if it's on private property. So we are very excited about this graffiti program, at least I am, and I'm very grateful to the council for funding it for this year, and we're already looking to next year to see other ways that we can continue to fund this important service.
Thank you very much. Anyone wish to testify on council calendar item 1027? Sir, are you here for 1027? All right. Carla, please call the roll.
Leonard?
Well, I really appreciate the focus Commissioner Fritz is bringing to this. This is one of those areas that gets under my skin, as most Portlanders know, and I don't think it's really received this level of attention for a long time. And so I often stick my nose into this area, no matter who happens to be in charge. And so it's a relief to know that you, Commissioner Fritz, are really focused on this. It makes what really bothers me the most, I think, is in working class neighborhoods and the people I've talked to who walk out of their house and find the car that they depend on, which is probably one of their few possessions, to be defamed. And not in the way that some of us think of some of the more artistic graffiti, but foul, horrible things written on their car, their fences, their houses. And I've talked to them and I've deeply empathized with how they feel about that. So I'm willing to go to great lengths to support whatever efforts you have to attack this problem, financial or staffing or otherwise, because I do think it's one thing that really affects, for some people more than any other item, quality of life in their neighborhood. And so I've worked with Marsha a lot on this, and she is really the best person to be in charge of this program because she's very passionate. And so she's actually sometimes more passionate than I am when I'm talking to her about this. I appreciate that a lot. I want to acknowledge that. And I know that the Police Bureau really appreciates that you're in the position that you are. And
thank you.
You've just been outstanding working on really what sometimes has to be a job that just feels like there's no way to ever get your arms around it. So
it's hard to be off work
and
leave my house.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Not have my camera with me.
I'm sure. You do a great job, and I appreciate
thank
it.
Thank you.
Aye.
Fritz?
Commissioner, thank you so much for those comments, for your acknowledgement of our wonderful staff, and for your personal commitment to helping with this problem. And you're so right that it's overwhelming at times, and yet this entire council was committed to making sure that the funding was available. This entire council is working together, and the Office of Neighborhood Involvement will be working with Development Services and the Neighborhood Inspections Team, and with the Police Department under Commissioner Saltzman, and the Parks folks. We've already had contacts with staff in Commissioner Fish's office to help with the graffiti on Parks Bureau property. The mayor, of course, has provided leadership on this with other things, that we do things collaboratively. And that's what we need from the citizens of Portland, from the business owners of Portland, to help with this. It's even if we had all the funding in the world, we probably couldn't get on top of this problem. But we have the Graffiti Task Force, which is a leading light. We had at the Graffiti Summit, we had folks from as far away as Medford and other faraway places to come and hear how we do things in Portland. And we're always looking for ways to improve that. And we need everybody's help. So thank you very much for your good work on this. Aye.
Fish.
Thank you for an excellent report and handout. And someday offline, I'd like to find out how it is that taggers are able to put graffiti on signs along I-5. Because I can't for the life of me figure out.
You follow OSHA rules.
I don't see how they get there. And I, with the traffic, I don't see how it would not be noticed. But I don't even know how you get up to those landing points. But I'll talk to you offline about that. Thanks for your good work. Aye.
Thank you. Adams.
Well, you have been part of this program for a very long time, and it is to the very great benefit of the city that you are, because that history of knowing vulnerable places where graffiti occurs, of being able to notice right away when someone new is at this crime, just makes our efforts that much more effective. So thank you for all your great work, and it will continue. I know. Thank you for your leadership in the Bureau that helps make this happen. And I, too, want to underscore and commend the passion of Commissioner Fritz to really provide from the top the passion and the commitment to doing this with the added benefit of building community, and that neighborhoods grow the ability and the expectation that they will be working on this themselves. And it's great that Kenton and my neighborhood is doing that.
The 22nd of August.
22nd of August. I will see you there. I also want to note and also thank, and again, this is an ONI police partnership, that these taggers do get caught many times, and they do have punishment and restitution involved. So I want to acknowledge them as well. Great work. Aye. 1027 is approved. Council stands adjourned.
Mayor Adams.
To reconsider your item.
There was a motion and a second to reconsider item, I think, 1004. If you could vote on that, then.
There's a motion on the floor to reconsider item 1004 and refer it back to my office for more work. It's been moved and seconded. Is there any discussion on reconsidering this item? Would you please call the roll on reconsideration of item 1004?
Leonard.
Aye.
Fritz.
Aye.
Fish.
Aye.
Adams.
Aye. 1004 is on the table. Unless there's council objection, 1004 is referred back to the mayor's office for more work. So done. We are recessed until tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Thank you all.
Are you going to unpack?
I am. Do you want to write?
Yes, please.
Okay.